Well, again, good morning. I think we're on. I think I got it on. My mute is off. We are all right. I will let them figure that out. So we have started a conversation about communication. And it's a wonderful thing to experience. It's a wonderful thing to work through, to figure out how to communicate. And we all do it. We all do it. We do it all the time. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes we say things that people just look at us and they think we're nuts. Like I said, I didn't expect it to snow this morning. I was expecting it later. Think maybe I'm loopy, I'm not paying attention, have the wrong weather app, all that kind of stuff. All of that potentially could be true. So necessarily when we communicate, it doesn't mean we always all agree. But there are good ways to do it, and there are ways that we could do it better. And so what we want to do this morning is I want to focus on some of the things that we can do better as we communicate. Before we do that, can I just pray again? I'd like us to ask the Lord just to bless our time, and we'll jump into it. Let's do that. Father, I want to say thank you again for this morning. Father, even though it was snowy, we woke up to whiteness and, at least for me, not expected. But Father, I just ask that you would bless us this morning and take care of us. Father, as we take time and as we read through a lot of your word today, Father, guide our time and bless us, I ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, you have some notes, and I hope you have those notes with you because I'm going to walk through a number of scriptures this morning. I have them all there for you. And as you look at the top of the sheet, you're going to see that there are a number of verses already there. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to read through these scriptures because these scriptures start just to paint the canvas of communication. And then we're going to start to unpack the 6 points down below. But let me just start to paint the canvas, take it out, start to throw scripture on that canvas to start giving us context. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Timely advice, Proverbs 25:11. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. Now, I have never had golden apples in a silver basket, but can I tell you, I wouldn't mind having a few. All right? Advice is lovely. Timely advice. Job 19:2. He's talking to his friends, supposedly. How long will you torture me? How long will you try to crush me with your words? The power of words, the power of communication. James chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with your boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. And then 1 Peter chapter 3. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Ephesians, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So, we walk through those verses, and we have six lessons or six parts today. And I have a tool that I've used. I'm breaking it up between this week and next week. So let's look at these six this morning. What's the first thing that we should do? If we're going to communicate well, if we're going to handle ourselves well in communication and interaction with others, what should we do? First of all, we should be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Think first. Don't be hasty in your words. Speak in such a way that the other person can hear and understand and is willing to consider what you're going to say. So often, we speak way too quickly. In fact, often in conversations and in debate and in argument, we have something we want to say and things we want to get off of our chest before the person we're talking to is even done saying anything. We are often impatient, unwilling to wait for the other person to finish what they're saying. Be slow to speak. Number of verses stand out here. Proverbs 15, verse 23. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. And if you want to have a fitting reply, if you want to say the right thing at the right time, then take your time to speak. Don't just speak and vomit something out there. Take your time. Be slow to speak. Think before you speak. How about Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28? The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. So think before you speak. Be slow to speak. How about Proverbs 29, verse 20? There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. You like that one? More hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. And James, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Slow. Man, sometimes we are boom, boom, boom. We are so quick on our feet with our words. But what does James say? Be slow to talk. Take your time in talking. There's no race. Take your time. Chill out. Lay back. Contemplate. Consider. What we need to be quick with? Listening. Quick with our ears. Slow with our mouth. As has been said to me multiple times, and as I at times have said to my kids or to other people, usually mostly my kids, it's not telling me the typically kind of the thing I would say to an adult. God gave you two ears, one mouth for a reason. God, I think, would welcome it if we spent twice as much time listening and half as much time talking. Particularly as we interact and we kind of start to lock horns. Learn to listen and talk more slowly. That does not mean we're not talking about, I mean, again, when I think of Eeyore, and Eeyore just talks, you're waiting for him to finish his sentence. And the rabbit, he can't say it quick enough. We're not talking about how quickly you talk. And that sometimes, like me, I get talking really, really quick, and I got to slow down. But we're talking about taking time to think before we speak. Be slow to speak. How about the next one? This is taking being slow to speak to the extreme. Do not use silence to frustrate the other person. Okay, I won't talk. I won't say a thing. I will communicate with body language, posture, facial expressions. I'll harrump and I'll growl. I will not speak. And you can press and push and cajole through the key away. Will not speak. Now, there are times when we're just not ready to talk. And when we have those times we're not ready to talk, I think it's okay to say, listen, I need some space. Joan and I learned that early on in married life. I'm the one who will go after and follow. So when we would have an issue happen and we would kind of lock horns, never happened hardly at all. I shouldn't lie, I'm sorry. But I guess you knew that was being sarcastic. And first year of marriage, lots of stuff to figure out. And so we would have a disagreement, we'd have something that was going on, and I would just kind of follow Joan through the house and try to have a conversation. And she was used to, when she had a problem at home, she would go to her room, she'd be quiet, she'd work things through, and when she could kind of figure everything out, work things through, she would come out and make an appearance, and maybe they would finish talking things through. But she discovered that her room was no longer just her room. Someone else had a key. And so I would follow Joan, and we would start at something about here, and after a little while, it was up to about here, and sometimes go, we'd have to replace tile and shingles in the house, you know? Why? Because I wasn't doing a good job. And Joan, finally, in our process and communication, Joan said, Andrew, we will talk, but right now, I just need to work on it. I need to think on it, and I need to chew on this. And after I'm done working through it, then we'll come back and talk, because I know you need to talk. And so we would work that through. But sometimes we're not ready to talk, and we can't talk. And it's part of it's understanding personality and how people are wired. Sometimes we're so upset or annoyed or other things going on. And sometimes we just need to say, listen, I know we need to talk. I want to talk. I just need a little bit of time to sit down, to sit through this, work through this. Let's talk in an hour. Let's talk tomorrow or whatever. But got to figure out. But if you shouldn't just use silence, because silence does not bring resolution. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. So there is a time where it's good to keep our mouth shut. But it doesn't mean keep our mouth shut forever. So when you're being pushed, it's okay to say, listen, I need a little bit of space, because otherwise I'm going to say some stuff I don't want to say. I'm going to react in a way I don't want to react. It's okay. Identify that. Say it. But that shouldn't be the end of a conversation. But then the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. We read this a moment ago. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. But the godly person is going to think carefully before speaking. But there is speaking. There is communication. Proverbs 16:21. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. There's a time to pause, to collect our thoughts, and to make sure that we are speaking in an appropriate and healthy manner. And what's amazing is when we speak well, we speak in a healthy and appropriate manner, people have ears to hear, and people react and respond appropriately. So sometimes we need to take time to form our thinking. But then we still need to communicate. We can't just use silence. From a wise man comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. Again, there's value in healthy, appropriate communication. Silence does not bring the gold and the rubies. Wise words, they have great value. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you'll have the right response for everyone. In the context of things, there are times when we have a tendency to need to be quiet, and that's okay. But we can't use silence as the only mode of communication. We have to figure out how to communicate. Because if we just use silence, we're going to frustrate the bejeebers out of others in our life. And what's also going to happen is that issues are never going to get resolved. Conversations are never going to be finished. And so if we just use silence, that's in many times just as destructive as saying the wrong thing. Because it frustrates and it doesn't bring solution. So we need to figure out how to communicate. But if you got to process through, think through, then take the time to say, listen, I can't talk right now. I need to work on this. Let's sit back and talk in, like I said, an hour, 2 hours. Let's talk tonight. Let's talk in the morning. But you cannot have, we'll never talk again. It's just not healthy. The next one then is connected. Do not respond in uncontrolled anger. You ever interact with someone who's just a nuclear bomb ready to be detonated? You know that at any point in time, it's going to go kaboom, and it's just going to flat out get ugly. Now, that's just a recipe for good communication, right? I can't wait to sit down and have a conversation with a nuclear bomb. This is just going to be great. I know we're going to resolve things. Things are going to get figured out. We're going to have a wonderfully glorious time. No, it doesn't facilitate and help communication whatsoever. It's an absolute block and hindrance. So we need to, now, you'll get angry once in a while. We do. We have things happen in our lives and it angers us, it annoys us, it irritates us. But we need to manage that. We need to control that. Instead, use a soft and kind response, a gentle tone of voice. Again, I talked about tone of voice last week. Tone of voice communicates so much. All I said was, well, yeah, I'm hearing you, and I'm hearing a whole lot more than just your words. See, tone of voice and all that kind of stuff. But we can change our tone. And we can go from this to this. Hey, we really got to talk. Listen, dummy. Or hey, can we talk? Tone changes the whole environment. It's pretty significant. Proverbs 14, verse 29. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. There's no wisdom in a temper tantrum. But understanding exercises control. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. I've shared this before. For me, the King James would say, a soft answer turns away wrath. I learned this on the basketball court. I was playing, I was probably 22, 23. And you know how you know the words, and then you have a life situation, and something happens, and all of a sudden, click, something on your understanding kicks in? I was playing basketball, and I hacked this guy really bad. I mean, I didn't leave marks, but I fouled him bad. It was a pickup game. And he turned around, ready to kind of like drop gloves and fight. And I just said, hey, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. I was amazed. I just gave a really soft, gentle reply. The whole atmosphere between he and I shifted. It was just amazing. It was instantaneous. If I had responded in kind, one of us would have gone home with a black eye. But I responded gently, apologized, and it was not planned, it was just instinctive, because I wasn't trying to hack him. It was just an instinctive response, and within 5 seconds after the whole thing, I went, wow. I mean, my thinking of the scripture came to mind, and I'm like, wow. I've said to folk many, 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 many times, people might come to us and say, well, I don't think the Bible is the word of God. I said, okay, I can understand. I can accept the fact that you don't believe it's the word of God. But I say to people, even if you don't believe it's the word of God, I got to tell you, you should do what it says because it works. Now, I think it is the word of God. But you should do what it says because when you do what it says, it works. And man, that soft answer, it just worked. It just works. When you use God's word, when you apply God's word, it just works. A gentle answer deflects anger. Patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. Proverbs 25, 15. Proverbs 29, 11. Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. They hold it back. Ephesians 4:25. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. So stop telling lies. And let me ask you a question. When we start to vent our anger, how accurate are we usually? There's kernels of truth, but we quickly go past the kernels and we start to step on other areas that's maybe not as accurate. But we're also recognizing that we're community. So as if we're community, we're family, co-workers, neighbors, friends, we should figure out how to communicate in a healthy manner instead of a destructive manner. Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:25 kind of started some of that conversation. Now we get to 4:31 and more conversation is continuing. And Paul says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. When we start to respond in anger, when we start to respond poorly, well, we have really gentle words, right? Right, those are the gentle words of life when we respond in anger. No, they're harsh. Overwhelmingly, they're harsh. They're demeaning. They're putting people down. They're meant to squish. Don't respond in uncontrolled anger. So we go up. Don't use silence to frustrate. At the same time, though, be slow to speak. You know, when we're slow to speak, okay. There may be other stuff that we want to have come out, but we take our time. We step back. Rethink. Before we launch. Then we ask, is this constructive? Does this build up? Is this demeaning or encouraging? Is this harsh, nasty, or is it kind and compassionate? It's good to be slow to speak. Because sometimes when we don't speak slowly, all that anger and garbage comes out. So it's good to be slow to speak, because if we're slow to speak, then maybe we'll better manage not reacting and responding in anger. How about number four? Ooh, hold on to your seat. This was the tough one, or one of the tough ones. When you are wrong, admit it. And ask for forgiveness. Oh, and we didn't stop there. And ask how you can change. You've got to be kidding me! What do you mean? Ask how I can change. Now, I'm not for sure I fully understand this one. Got to be honest with you. Because you have to be wrong. You get it. See, this is a bad day for Joe not to be in a nursery. Listen, there's days when we're just wrong. Times when we're just wrong. We have to be willing to admit it. We have to. Or at least we should be. And then, hey, I was really stupid. I was really dumb. I offended you. My attitude, my actions, etc., were out of line. Would you please forgive me? Those are important words. That "will you please forgive me" comment is really important to helping to restore relationship. It's really important. Because part of the value of conversation, part of the value of working through things with other individuals, is coming to the point of reconciliation. And if we're not willing to admit we're wrong, then we're often not willing to say, "I offended you. Would you please forgive me for offending you, for hurting you?" And when we're not seeking forgiveness and we're not seeking to reconcile, then reconciliation does not place. Restoration does not take place. And I got to tell you, reconciliation and restoration are really important in relationships. And if you don't want to keep on making the same mistakes, don't want to keep on offending, don't want to keep on irritating and annoying, then we need to be willing to change. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I don't want to tell them my vulnerabilities. I don't want to tell them my deficiencies. If you think that and you say that periodically to yourself, you believe something that the people next to you already know is wrong. Because you're assuming if you're telling someone close to you in your life, if you're going to tell them your deficiencies and you're going to tell them where you're messing up, you're not telling them usually anything they don't know. Because we already know in relationships, usually the deficiencies we each have. It's not news. I can give you a list of my deficiencies. But most of you already know a lot of my deficiencies. And if you want a more comprehensive list, Joan could make one too. They're already known. They're already seen. If we live in relationship with one another, those deficiencies and those failings are on display. But it's healthy to be honest with one another. And when we're honest about it, then we can get some help and we can get some encouragement. And here's the other little thing that I want to tell you about. And it's free for this conversation here, but applies in other areas as well. Often the evil one whispers in our ear, "You're the only one. No one else wrestles with this area of sin." Do y'all hear that? He whispers in our ear, "You're the only one. You're the only one. You're not the only one. You're one of many, 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 many who wrestle with those areas of sin." But when we confess and are willing to admit to the things we fail and sin in, the pressure and the hook of control gets weakened and goes away. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that you don't continue in the same patterns. So that you can start to discover victory and wholeness and healthiness. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So when we're honest with each other, we say, "Can you pray for me in this area?" And we start to pray for one another and we're transparent on things we wrestle with in our lives. It's amazing how God works in our lives. But we have a tendency to hold things at times close to the vest and not be transparent with people close to us in our journey. And we miss out on vulnerability. We miss out on the sharpening that takes place. We miss out on the prayer that can support us in our journey. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." So when we admit we're wrong, we ask for forgiveness, and then when we say, "Do you have a suggestion on how I can do this differently?" We're getting help. And the wise person listens to others. The fool thinks he's right. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Guys, this one is like on display like crazy in our culture. It's just nuts. Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. Thinking they're justified in the choices they make. Why, we need to be willing to have someone poke our lives with truth. We need to be willing to allow people to shine the light of truth into our lives, and so the error and lies we tell ourselves and the behavior that we have that is destructive can be exposed. The things that we say, the things that we do can be exposed. And God's word starts to poke at that internal stuff and starts to expose the lies, because God examines our motives. Here's a little secret about motives. We can do something on the exterior that people look and say, "Isn't that wonderful?" And they don't see the internal motivation. And sometimes that internal motivation can be totally, totally corrupt. It's the motives that we need to search as well. It's the why of our behavior. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? Loyal friends, thick and thin, hot and cold, high and low. It's huge. We need loyal friends in our journey. If we don't have loyal friends in our journey, it's tough. We need it. Someone will speak truth and love. In Proverbs 21, verse 2, people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. Verse 29, the wicked bluff their way through, but the virtuous think before they act. Admit when you're wrong. Seek forgiveness. And ask, how can I change? Number 5. When someone confesses to you, tell them you forgive them. Forgive. Proverbs 17:9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. How far do you make it into your day before you mess up? And just because you're living alone doesn't mean you're skating good. How far do you make it into your day before you mess up? Sometimes between here and the bathroom. We haven't rolled 20 feet yet, and we've already messed up for the day. Sometimes we make it down for breakfast. But sure, shoot, and I bet you none of you make it out the door in the morning before you've messed up somehow. We all mess up. We mess up all the time. And if we got hammered all the time for every single way in every single area that we mess up, and people are keeping a list and they're holding that list against us, and we're being hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered all the time we mess up, we're all toast. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. We already know, automatically, at the beginning, we're going to mess up. And the people around us are going to mess up. So do we start with an attitude to forgive, or do we start with an attitude with, I'm going to get you? The challenge is to start with an attitude to forgive. But dwelling on it, it creates alienation and separation. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Come on, God. You got to be kidding me. He's not. Forgive. God, he did this all day yesterday. You didn't hear the stuff she was saying. Oh, yeah, I did. And forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So we mess up often before we even make it from the bed to the bathroom. Clearly before we make it out the door in the morning. And that's just the beginning of the day. Before you close your eyes at night and close your eyes and say good night to God, good night to the day, and you drip off to sleep, how many times have you messed up? I hope you have a good long ledger. Because all of us mess up a lot. And all of it, God forgives. When you're in Jesus, all of it is forgiven. So when we say to God, God, man, you're asking a hard one here. And he's saying, yeah, I know. But I got you covered. And I have them covered, and I have them covered, and in fact, I got everyone covered. I'm willing to forgive everybody, every single stupid, dumb thing they do. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven us. Colossians. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. It's really important. And then 1 Peter. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers over a multitude of sin. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Love and forgive. Love and forgive. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak through God himself, as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So why would we forgive? Why do we show grace? Why do we show kindness? Why do we show mercy? Because it glorifies our God. It brings him praise. It brings him honor. It honors him. Here's the last one. And again, we struggle with it. Try to understand the other person's opinion. I don't want to understand their opinion. Because I'm annoyed at them. I don't want to understand their perspective. I don't want to understand how they're thinking. I don't want to understand how they got there because I'm ticked off and annoyed. I'm angry. But if you want to have a relationship, if you want to have communication, if you want to be sharpened, if you want to be refined, if you want to continue to grow, then you would hugely benefit from seeking to understand the other person's point of view, the other person's opinion. Fools have no interest in understanding. We read this one earlier. They only want to air their own opinions. A fool has no interest in understanding. None. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what you think. I know what I think. I know what my opinion is. Done. Dumb on you. Verse 18, verse 2 of chapter 18 kind of talks about you a little bit then. Not flattering. Fools have no interest in understanding. By the way, anyone here aspire to be a fool? No, not as someone here foolish once in a while, but do you aspire to be a fool? Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Spouting off before listening to the facts. Y'all never heard that happen, have you? Engage mouth, disengage thought. Don't confuse me with, don't complicate me with the facts. I'm too busy talking. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. Who wants to just kind of be relegated to the dumb section? No. Intelligent, thoughtful people are always ready to learn. Eager and open for knowledge. Philippians 3. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Now, Paul is having a conversation with the church in Philippi, and he's walking through some things, and he's telling them, listen, guys, these are the facts. These are the things you need to know. These are the things you need to understand. So if you're spiritual, now don't you like to have this kind of conversation? Listen, if you're spiritual, you're gonna agree with me, you're gonna follow with me, you're gonna track with me, you're gonna get it, you're gonna understand. If you're spiritual, you agree with me. That's what Paul is saying. Now you want to know something? I'm gonna give Paul some room because he's also speaking through the inspiration of God here. And he's saying, guys, if you're gonna be a spiritual man or woman, you're gonna agree with the things I'm saying. But then he goes on. But if you disagree on some point, it's okay. God will make it clear to you later on. But we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. I believe that God will make it plain to you. You can disagree with me, guys. But at some point in time, as you continue to grow, as you continue to become who Jesus wants you to be, you're going to realize, Paul's saying, that what I'm telling you is right. What does that mean? Well, it means then that we need to be willing to understand. We can't just stand in the positions that we've staked out, the opinions we've assumed. We need to be willing to be teachable. We need to be willing to learn. Because often there is something to learn, and often there's something that we can be taught so that we can continue to grow. Six things this week. Be slow to speak. Do not use silence to frustrate the other person. Do not respond in uncontrolled anger. When you are in the wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. And ask how you can change. When someone confesses to you, tell them you forgive them. And you should forgive them. And try to understand the other person's opinion. Now, can I say something real quick? This is also part of why we need to be slow to speak. Because often we just speak way too quick. Because we don't always speak with understanding. We're going to jump into this and talk about this a little bit more next week, but I'll just say this. When you're having a conversation, you're having a debate with somebody, is your goal understanding and resolution? Or is your goal to win? You hear what I'm saying? When you're having a conversation with someone, you're having a disagreement, and you're trying to find resolution, in that conversation, is your goal to pursue understanding, or is your objective to win? And how often in that conversation, as that other person is talking, are you actually listening? Or are you forming the next argument you're going to launch into as soon as they give you a break to launch? So are you listening to understand, or are you trying just to win the debate? That's why it's important for us to try to understand. Because the goal is not and should not be to win. The goal should be understanding and reconciliation. And lots of relationships, friendships, are on the trash heaps of history because friends were too busy trying to win the argument or win the debate instead of trying to understand one another and come to resolution. Try to understand, not just try to win. Let's pray together. Father, as we continue to think through and process through what it means to live in relationship with each other and to communicate well with one another, Father, I would just ask that you would just build into us. That, Father, we would be willing to be honest with ourselves. And then we would be willing to be honest with you. And then maybe, Father, we'd be willing to be honest with our friends and intimate friends who we do life with. So that, Father, we can grow and become more and more who you desire us to be, so that we can reflect your goodness, your greatness, so that your name and reputation would grow and blossom. And so that our lives would be transformed in a way that would be wonderfully glorious. Father, that's what we desire. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.